Incident on a Lonely Road in New Jersey by Wendy Z. Things are not always what they appear to be. Disclaimer. All respect to the copyrights of the owners of the characters portrayed in this little romp. I earn no proceeds from their use, but it was certainly fun to use them. Hope you all think so too. This story first appeared on File 40, but like many others have found, it doesn't hurt to spread yourself around a little. Thanks for listening. There were times, Ilya Kuryakin mused, when this job could actually be considered fun. Having intercepted a thrush courier en route to an exchange rendezvous with his usual efficiency, he donned the other man's black trench coat and dark fedora to meet the contact himself. The courier, now safely tucked away in the trunk of his car, had yielded up the contact codes with the promise of protection from what was now his former employer. A tranquilizing dart had eliminated the possibility that the courier would have any argument about his accommodations. Ilya now sat in the front seat of the courier's car, parked along an unmarked road in northern New Jersey, an hour's drive from New York City. His own car was well hidden on a turnoff a quarter of a mile away. The contact was due to arrive at any minute. He waited 10 minutes in the dark, eyes flickering from the road in front of him to the rearview mirror and the vista behind him. A moment later, a pair of headlights approached, slowed, and passed him without stopping. He sighed heavily. Waiting was not high on his list of things I like about my job. He much preferred the action to waiting for the action to happen. Another car approached, but it, too, passed. He watched the red glow of the taillights in the rearview mirror as they disappeared down the road. Ilya was beginning to think the contact was not going to show when he saw a dark, car-like object approach very slowly and stop 20 yards in front of him on the opposite side of the road. The parking lights glowed briefly, went out, and went on again. 5 seconds later, they went out, and the pattern repeated. A thrill of excitement ran up and down his spine as he recognized the question part of the initial contact code. He answered, flashing his lights twice, a pause, and 2 5-second-long flashes. The other car responded with 3 short flashes, and Ilya replied in kind. The driver's side door on the other car opened, but the dome light remained out as a dark shape got out of the car. In the darkness, Ilya smiled his wolfish grin of satisfaction. So far, so good. Now it was his turn to get out of the car. He opened the door and let the dome light illuminate him as required, confident in his disguise. The two men approached each other, each hidden from the other in the darkness of the night and their attire. The contact, who was nearly Ilya's size and build, spoke first. A storm is moving in from the west. Thanks to his package in the trunk of the car, Ilya knew how to respond. The prediction was for clear weather, he said, matching the other man's tone. I wouldn't put my trust in weathermen, the contact said. Yes, they are always wrong, Ilya replied. Then, on his own, he added, You're late. Did you have any trouble? No, I thought it was better to arrive at the end of the time window. He produced an envelope from his coat pocket. This list might actually get through this time. Drop site number 5 by 7 a.m. It did not matter that Ilya had no idea where that was. I understand. He started to reach for the envelope when it was suddenly withdrawn. I suggest you make no sudden moves, the contact said, or I will be forced to kill you where you stand. His other hand raised, and Ilya could see the faint outline of a weapon in its grasp. Then you would be killing your own courier. You're not my contact. Who are you? The other man demanded. Ilya knew there was no way he had slipped on the code phrases. You are mistaken, he insisted. I am your contact. Lower your weapon. The gun remained where it was. My contact is my brother. Damn, Ilya thought. The man in the car had failed to mention that little piece of vital information. It looks like the joke is on me, he said aloud, a touch of a smile pulling at the corners of his mouth. Who are you? The courier repeated, lifting his gun higher. And where is my brother? Your brother is waiting for us in my car, and I, Ilya said, as the smile broadened to a grin, am your brother's keeper. You're an uncle agent, the courier growled. Nothing gets past you, does it? So I guess now we have a little negotiating to do, don't we? Say, perhaps your brother and fellow thrush agent for that little envelope you're carrying? The gun and I don't think much of your first offer. I propose a counteroffer. I keep the envelope, and you lead me to your car, Release my brother, and I won't kill you after you do. I've never known a thrush to keep its end of a bargain. The species is such a greedy animal, you know. It's just very protective of what belongs to it. But it seems to care more for its holdings than for members of its own kind. We understand each other, then. If this envelope doesn't reach its destination, my brother and I will be killed. They never mentioned that in the recruitment brochure, did they? The hive mentality only works when the workers are kept in the dark. Uncle, however, would reward you for your service and protect you from unpleasant outcomes, if you should choose to cooperate, and it starts with lowering the gun you have pointed at me. He smiled inwardly as the gun was slowly lowered to the other man's side. He was about to speak again when, suddenly, from the road ahead of him, a pair of headlights approached at what appeared to be high speed. Instinctively, his hand fished into his coat for his handgun, and he grabbed for the man standing between him and the oncoming car. "Some of your friends come to join the party?" he growled. But the other man did not move or speak as a car screeched to a stop in front of them. "Listen, friend," Ilya said in the man's ear, "I have no desire to become the guest of honor at this little gathering, so if you don't mind, I'll take my leave and cut my losses." The man's next words stopped him dead in his tracks. "It's not Thrush, it's them." "Who is them?" Two men got out of the black sedan, both dressed in exactly the same attire as Ilya and his contact. Black suit and tie, black trench coat, and black hat. As they walked towards them, Ilya lowered his gun and said, partly to his companion, partly to no one at all, "What in the hell is going on here?" The older of the two men spoke. "Well, well, well, if it isn't old Beach, are we playing spy again?" Both of the men chuckled as if the situation was a grand inside joke. The younger man said, "Where's Jeeb?" Ilya stepped out from behind Beej, his gun raised. "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" The two men did not move or even raise an eyebrow. "That," Ilya said, with annoyance plain in his voice, "was not a rhetorical question." The two men looked at each other. "Do you want me to take this one, D?" the younger one said. The older man smiled, his dark mustache curling over his lips. "Sure, Kay. Go get 'em, kid." The younger man stepped forward to take Ilya by the arm. "Let's go over there, and I'll explain everything." Ilya motioned with the gun. "I believe I am quite comfortable where I am." The man shrugged. "Okay," he said pleasantly, and began to reach into his coat pocket until a word of warning from Ilya stopped him. "My identification?" he asked. Ilya nodded. "Slowly, if you don't mind, and even if you do mind." The man continued to reach into his coat pocket. "My, you're a jumpy fellow." "It goes with the territory. I'll see your identification now." The other man produced it, and Ilya took it. "New York City Police? What are you doing in New Jersey?" The other man smiled, showing two rows of white teeth. "I showed you mine. How about if you show me yours?" Ilya stared at him for a moment, then realized the man was asking in kind of a sophomoric way to see his ID. He produced his gold uncle card and returned the officers in the same motion. "Uncle, huh? What brings you out on a night like this?" It was Ilya's turn to smile, but his was a humorless one. "I asked you first." "Oh yeah, you did. Well, Beach here is out of his jurisdiction. He and his brother are not supposed to leave the five boroughs." The man called D spoke. "Speaking of Jeeb, where is he?" Beach shook his head. "Ask him," he motioned towards Ilya. "He's under my gentle care," Ilya said. D frowned. "Beach, you know we don't care what you do for fun, but you're not supposed to leave your area." Kay smiled at Ilya. "We can handle it from here. You can leave." Ilya had had enough. He pushed the man facing him aside and stood to confront D. "Look, I don't know who you two think you are, but this man," he pointed to Beach, "and his brother are couriers for a subversive organization, and my prisoners." "Hey," Beach protested, "I didn't agree to that." Ilya extended his hand. "Give me the envelope, Beach," he said, his voice hard. "I'll keep your brother. He was much more agreeable than you. You can take your chances with Thrush." "D, K, you gotta help me here. If I don't pass on the information, they're gonna shoot me in a place that won't grow back." The uncle agent stared at Beach, his expression incredulous. "What did you just say?" Kay looked at him blandly. Oh, you heard it right. When Ilya looked at him with disbelief, he calmly fished a weapon out of his coat and pointed it at Beej. The three others all reacted in distinctly different ways. Dee rolled his eyes at Kay in a "not again" expression. Beej snarled a curse at him. Ilya raised his gun to point it at Kay and blurted out, "What do you think you're doing?" "Providing a demonstration," Kay said, and fired his weapon at Beej's head. The man's head blew apart on impact, flesh flying in all directions. Ilya, completely taken aback, stared in angry disbelief at Kay's callous disregard for life. His only thought was that this Kay could teach Thrush a thing or two about ruthlessness. But he was completely unprepared for what happened next. "You insensitive prick! That stings!" The voice came from Beej's direction, though higher pitched. As Ilya turned his head in that direction, his mouth dropped open in utter shock when he saw Beej's head growing back. "Shut up," Dee said. "God, what a baby!" He walked over to Ilya, who stood gun hanging loosely in his hand, still staring at Beej. "You okay, young fella?" Ilya found his voice. "What's going on here?" he said, subdued. "You'll have to excuse my partner," Dee said. "He gets a little gung-ho at times." The Russian agent continued to stare at Beej's rejuvenated head. "He's not human, is he?" "Boy, nothing gets past you, does it?" Beej quipped. Dee laid his hand on Ilya's shoulder. "There's a perfectly logical explanation for all of this. I would love to hear it so that I can try to make some sense of the report I'm going to have to write later." "Well, you see, we need to talk about that a little." And Dee reached into his pocket, pulling out a pair of dark glasses and a silver metallic cylinder. Before he could react, a flash of red light hit him full in the face, and the world dissolved into nothingness. Dee and Kay deposited the docile uncle into the front seat of his car and popped open the trunk lid to free Beej's brother, Jeeb. "Why don't you guys give up this cloak and dagger nonsense and get into some other line of work?" Kay said. "Maybe you could open up a pawn shop or something, Jeeb." The two aliens and their companions climbed into their respective cars and drove off, leaving Ilya behind the wheel of his car, staring off into space, a blank expression on his face. As soon as the cars were out of sight, he blinked once, and consciousness seemed to flow back into him. A look of confusion furrowed his brow for a moment, and then he noticed an envelope lying beside him on the front seat. He picked it up, a little puzzled, until he recognized it was the envelope the courier had been carrying. Suddenly, the situation was clear to him. The mission had been accomplished, he had the list, and the courier and his contact were in the trunks of their respective cars awaiting rescue from unknown parties. It was nice to have a mission go according to plan for once, Ilya thought with satisfaction, and turned the key in the ignition. It made the task of writing the report so much easier. Another hour to deliver the list and give his preliminary report, and then he could go home and get a well-earned night's rest. He allowed himself a self-indulging smile and pulled away from the side of the road. Yes, it had been a very successful mission. The end.